Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is HAZMAT, Hazardous Materials. The United States Department of Homeland Security defines a hazmat suit as an overall garment worn to protect people from hazardous materials or substances, including chemicals, biological agents, or radioactive materials. It's also defined as an impermeable whole-body garment worn as protection against hazardous materials, and it's worn by, you've seen firefighters in them, emergency medical technicians, paramedics, researchers, toxic spills, contaminated facilities, toxic environments. So hazardous, the word hazardous means full of risk, perilous, risky, dependent on chance. We try to protect ourselves. Certain things happen in the world. You've got diseases, you've got germs. I don't think my dad was what I'll define in a moment was a germaphobe. But man, he used to wash his hands all the time. He would wash his hands, and his hands were even worn on the top, it seemed a little bit, from just washing his hands so much. Someone who is that concerned, or beyond him, I guess, is it's called misophobia. And you may know it as germophobia, germophobia, or germophobia. And basically, it's just a pathological fear of contamination and germs. So to jump to the extreme, only two people in history have not died. And I'd like to start with some scripture here. One of them is in Genesis chapter 5. And these are kind of very unusual things, only twice that we know of, at least it's recorded in scripture. And it just simply says this, Genesis chapter 5, verse 23. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So it is possible that you could just be living and be taken. Now, that happened to Enoch. The other one that it happened to is in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. And this is about Elijah, and I highly recommend going and read this whole story in 2 Kings about Elijah and Elisha and kind of the tug of war going on with them and where Elisha had to stay with Elijah till this happened. Then verse 11, it says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. So this chariot pulls in between Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, didn't die. Now, so you say, well, is that going to happen to me? Not unless you're alive, and we'll read this in a minute, not unless you're alive when Jesus returns. If you're alive when the trumpet sounds, the great shout, and the trumpet sounds, then you'll be airlifted out of here somehow. So it is possible. But if that does not happen, you're going to die. You say, well, I'm trying to push that off. And my calm, casual encouragement to you is to give some thought as to why it is that you want to live. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So the only reason he could come up with for living was Christ. Is that your reason for wanting to take care of yourself, stay healthy, and be on the planet is for Christ? You say, well, no, it's really about my family. It's my job. I'd like to make some more money. And, you know, I get all those things can be goals and priorities that we make. But when it's working the way it's supposed to be working, we know there's an end in sight. We know he's going to return or we're going to die. So for us to live should be Christ, because to die would be gain. We'd be with him. There's a story about the Alca Indians in South America. And if you've seen the movie Tip of the Spear, The Bridge of Blood, and I've actually met Ming Kai, the Indian who killed Jim Elliot in that Amazon jungle. And the other day, I heard that Ming Kai had died. How exciting. And I'm telling you, when I hear of Christians that die, I know they walked with God. I know their lives were about Christ. I have a very hard time. I'm sad for their family. I'm sad for all that. You know, there's nothing wrong with grieving because it's a loss. But to live when it is Christ, then to die is gain. And when you make it to your Savior, when you see your Jesus, there's nothing going to be better than that. And so I rejoiced. I had met this simple man. He was just a cannibal, basically, and got saved and was, you know, friends with all these kids. He had killed their parents, and now he's friends with the family. It's just only God can pull these kind of things off. So that's the worst case scenario. If you're a Christian, turns out to be the best case scenario. And unless you're in the Enoch, Elijah category, you're going to die. So at least we started out with something positive. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Go over there with me. A few pages to your right. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And this passage actually kind of got famous. Books written about it, and people were praying this prayer. But I'd like you to look at what it really says. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, and so this was what he prayed to God. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. A lot of us pray that prayer. You know, God bless me, bless grandma, bless all the missionaries in Africa. Or, you know, we go with these little prayers, simple prayers. But he starts out, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. In other words, lands, whatever I have, my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. And the thing I'd like to focus on here a second is that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. When we succumb to evil, when the enemy gets a hold of us, when he gets to us and sin is a part of our lives and a kind of an ongoing part of our lives, then you think, well, it's just me sinning. No, my sin, and I can tell you from personal experience, my sin ends up causing someone else pain. It's inevitable. And he's saying, so it's not just that I want to keep myself from evil, it's that I don't want to cause any more pain than there already is in the world, okay? So your prayer, if you're praying that prayer, keep me from evil. If you go over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, the Lord's prayer here taught him how to pray in verse 13, part of that prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but what? Deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So deliver us from the evil one. Don't lead us into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. I don't want the enemy to have access to me. And we'll get into this in just a little bit. How are we exposing ourselves? How is it that the enemy can get to us, not just a foothold, but only one time in Scripture this word is used, is stronghold. And we'll see what that means and what can happen there. So you're just basically saying, God, don't lead me into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. Protection, right? I don't want to even play with these things. Why do I pray that? Because he's after you. We are the target. And there's no days off. There's no days where the devil goes, okay, ceasefire. They know they've lost already. Now it's just a matter of lying and tricking and trying to deceive us if we're believers into not following God and trusting him, living in fear. And if we aren't believers, telling us, no, no, you don't need God, you're good. As a six-year-old kid, I was having those thoughts. The day I became a Christian, at 6 years old, I remember sitting on that front pew, that little church, to go down front the way they did it. And I remember this battle. I remember hearing the gospel as clear as day. And part of me, there was a voice of sorts, didn't hear an audible voice, but I knew I could hear someone saying inside of me, it's me, trust me, accept this gift. I've got you. Believe. And on the other side, another voice was pulling on me saying, you're good, you don't need this. You say, well, how do you know that at 6 years old? You can know a lot of stuff at 6 years old. It may be very simple, but you understand basic things. And I knew as a little six-year-old boy, there were two forces fighting over me. And I thought, I gotta pick a lane. One of these is not for me, one of them is for me. I better decide what I want. And I picked Jesus. Romans chapter 8. So you say, but what can go wrong? I'll read you some stuff that can go wrong. Romans 8:35. Go read the rest of this later, but the whole chapter. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? You say, well, I'm facing tribulation. That won't separate us. Distress? No. Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So even if you say, well, I'm facing all these things, and people literally have faced, are facing, and will face any number of these things. But what does it say? Even with all that, we are more than conquerors. So yes, the enemy is going to come after us. Yes, you might be martyred. Yes, some things could go poorly from the world's perspective. But what does it say? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. And this is the stuff you can't just read. You have to read this stuff and say, okay, he is saying that he was persuaded. Am I personally that persuaded? And personally, I have my moments, but in general, overall, I am persuaded. I can quote this personally. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You got nothing that can separate me from him, so I'm going to be okay. You say, well, what about people today? The average is 400 or 500 people are martyred, Christians, every day all over the world. I'm telling you, that must be a terrible thing, but unless it's a torturous, miserable, but even then, Jesus is there not just with you as a believer, he's in you. And for me, I really am not asking for this, but hopefully in that moment, part of the process is no matter how bad this gets, in just a few minutes, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to be out of here. And then there's nothing, they can't touch me after that. They can't do anything to me. So much hope. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and this is the first verse I ever memorized. I can't remember it all the time, so I guess not really well, but no, I do remember this one. And thank God the preacher that encouraged me to memorize this. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has taken you, overtaken you, except such as is common to man. So you say, I'm being tempted. You got nothing new. You can't say, oh my gosh, the devil, they had a meeting and cooked up something special for me. No, it's the same old stuff for millennia. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So you get suited up, you go into a situation, you say, oh, it's going to be too much. It's not going to be too much. There's always an exit. I'm standing on a stage, and from where I'm standing, I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 exit signs just in this theater. So I know if something goes wrong in this theater, there are exits. They are not obstructed. If I push these doors, they'll open, and I'm out of here. The place catches on fire. I'm not looking for the fire. I'm looking for the exit from the fire. Look for the exit. There's always an exit. No matter what you're tempted with or you face, there is always an exit that is promised in Scripture, and the temptation is never going to be more than you can handle. I know this for a fact, I have never been tempted in my life with a temptation that was greater than I could have said no to. Not possible. How do you know that? The Scripture says that. I'm protected. You say, oh, but I had a doozy. I have had no doozy greater than my ability to look for the exit and get out. Now, I don't always look for the exit, but I have protection. You have that same protection, that hazard protection. Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I put this in here. I'm not exactly sure who this is for, but I'm going to read this to you because this is extraordinary. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. He says, now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you. So from what the way he's described in Scripture, not very impressive looking guy, that doesn't matter. By the way, if you think what you look like has anything to do with whether God can use you, you're missing it. This is not about how you look. This is about who you are and whether he is in you or not and has access to your life to live in and through you. So he says, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. In other words, we do everything just physically. For though we walk in the flesh, yes, we are still in these bodies. We are still on the planet. This is the vehicle that we live in and do what we do through. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all obedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now, I'd like to go to this word stronghold. Some translations have the word fortress. It means a castle. So here's what happens. The enemy, and the word defined means to fortify, the idea of holding safely a castle, an argument. So here's what happens in your life, in our lives. The enemy comes in and builds a castle, a stronghold, a fortress in your life. And he tells you things that are not true. It's all going to be lies. But you believe those lies. I'll never amount to anything. That's what I was told. If that's what you were told, you'll never. I wasn't told that, but some people, you know, you'll never amount to anything. You can't do that. That's for other people, not you. Whatever lies you were told, or this is all not true. I'm thinking of a specific man right now who's not a believer yet. I do believe he'll get saved. But the enemy has built a castle, a fortress, a stronghold in this guy's brain. And you say, well, what do you do? What does it say to do? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Go read at some point in, I think it's Joshua chapter 6. Joshua takes Jericho, and God says, this is how you're going to take Jericho. Fortified city, impenetrable, you can't take it. He says, go to Jericho, tell everybody quietly, walk around it once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, walk around it seven times. And on the seventh time, blow the horns, shout, and the walls will fall down. You go, that's crazy stuff. It's only crazy if it doesn't happen. But if God tells you to do something, and by the way, in that story, if you go read the details on it, he told before the guys with the horns, send the armed men. Now, here's my question for you as a believer. If you're a Christian, are you armed and ready? Could you pull a sword if you had to? Are you even ready for battle if it hit? Are you just somebody in the back ranks at whatever? You wake up in the morning and you go into battle, not dressed for battle, and you think, well, I'm just going to be a nice guy today. Everything's going to be okay. That's not how this works. It's not flesh and blood. It's principalities and powers. The enemy is an unseen enemy that uses people, but you have to be shooting at the person, not the shadow of the person, or you never hit the target. So you wake up in the morning, and if it is a spiritual battle and you're going to take down these strongholds, you better have some spiritual game, some ability to address these things and know what to say. Now, what do you use if the enemy's told somebody lies? You have to know the truth in order to offset a lie. So someone says, well, I was told this. Now, please don't write me letters if you're gonna write me letters on stuff. You know, people's told women can't wear pants to church. Seriously? What does that have to do with anything? Oh, well, I was told that, I was raised that. I was raised where you couldn't play cards. And I got a really terrible story I'd have to tell you privately about what happened to my little brother who got caught playing cards somewhere as though he were going to go straight to hell playing poker or something. I understand you could end up gambling, but everybody in my family could play dominoes. So dominoes are okay, but not cards. Just crazy stuff. So you have to sift through all these things that you're told that someone has said, oh, this is this, that. Find it. If you can't find it in the scripture, you ain't got it. Okay, there's just certain things just the devil will lie and tell you all kind of crazy stuff. So how do you combat that? Read it with me again. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that does what? Exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Kind of what happened to me the day I became a Christian. I was having these thoughts as a six-year-old kid, and I had to say, no, those are not the thoughts. That is not going to get me anywhere. So what has the devil told you? What is it you've got to tear down? Kind of march around, as it were, and say, we're not playing this game anymore. I'm going to find out what the truth is. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to live the truth and bring all of these things. Look what it says. Captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What else we got here? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll do a couple of these and then we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is talking to Christians. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. So there's three things going to be, I'm going to highlight this for this reason. Enemies of the soul, are described as the world, the flesh, and the devil. So what's coming against you? What's this hazardous stuff coming against you? He made you alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh. So the world, the flesh, the devil, all coming against you, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then the one most people have heard, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And very briefly, Ephesians 6. I recommend doing a study of this, taking some time with this, because this is what you suit up with to go into battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might." Strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, not your might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." We are not warring, fighting against flesh and blood, but against what? "Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." It's kind of some Dukes of Hazzard, if you know what "get your dukes up" means. Let's fight. Now, this is how simple this is. And if you go on and read, it tells you, you gird your waist with truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, then praying. So you say, "Well, I get home at night and I feel so defeated." Do you know why you feel defeated? Because you're defeated. You lost. You say, "Well, how did I lose?" You can't lose if you fight. Now listen to what I'm saying. If you suit up and you go into battle, you say, "But I got hit. I had some, you know, I got attacked." Sure, you're going to get attacked, but you don't have to lose the battles. You're not going to get hit beyond what you can take. We've already read that. There's always a way of escape. And if you're suited up, you can't come home every night with your butt kicked unless something has gone terribly wrong. If you start your day right, you're going to end your day a whole lot differently. So you wake up, you say, "Lord, we got another day. What are we doing today?" "We're going to get attacked, aren't we?" "Yeah, we're going to get attacked. And I got a pretty good idea how I'm going to be attacked. It's been the same old silly thing my whole life. So what do I do?" "Let's get dressed. We're getting dressed to go out into the day. Let's put this stuff on and be ready." How are you going to wield a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, if you don't know the word of God? So you learn some scripture, you meditate on scripture, you memorize some scripture, and you get in a situation and someone speaks up and says something, you go, "That ain't right." You speak the truth in love, but you speak to the issue. I would say that 95% plus of Christians that I meet live defeated lives. They haven't won in so long, maybe never won. They're just hanging on to Jesus till the train comes to get them and they get out of here. That is not what's supposed to be happening. We have the power to suit up, literally hazmat spiritually. You say, "Yeah, but you could still get hit with something seep in." I get all that, but you don't have to live as exposed as you're living, and you certainly don't have to go to sleep every night defeated.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now, we got a few people in the room. And I know of the few people in the room, some of the struggles. And I know some people, one in particular back here, had some struggles. Had some struggles? Have you had victory over any of those struggles? Huh? Yeah. So every once in a while, someone will stand up and say, got my 25-year chip, sober 25 years. You know how you get a 25-year chip? You got to be sober every day for 25 years. You know how you do that? You fight. It doesn't mean you don't ever have a thought to take a drink. It means you make a choice. And the things that the enemy brings against us, you got to make a choice before you get to the choice. You got to pray and know what your answer is going to be before you get to the question. It's like studying for a test. Easiest test in the world are ones you know the answers to. So what's my answer in this situation? What God says, I'm not doing this anymore. I am not going to live defeated. I'm not going to bed every night defeated. So I'm going to get up, I'm going to hazmat up, and I'm going to live the life He intended.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.